Welcome to Euskaltel's Investors and Analysts Conference Call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation, which will be followed by a question and answer session. We will accept 5 questions. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also find the presentation in Euskaltel's website. I'm now pleased to introduce Mr. Fernando Ojeda, CEO of Euskaltel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon to all of you. It's a pleasure to speak to you again and for the first time, obviously, as a publicly listed company. We want to take this opportunity to welcome our new shareholders. We thank you for your support in the IPO of Euskaltel, and we are looking forward to work with you for 4 years to come. In today's call, we want to give you a brief trading update as of first half of 2015, understanding that our full first half results will be available for you at the end of August. As also for sure you've read from the press release which was published last Thursday, we want to give you a bit more detail about the preliminary agreement to integrate Euskaltel and the Recable. So first, let me start with a quick update on our standalone performance for the first half of this year. So if we move to page 1 and we take a look at the main operating metrics, as you can see, we're experiencing a continuous growth momentum. In this context, on the top left, you can see that our residential subscribers are showing an inflection point, growing by just over 2% between the first and the second quarter of this year, after a continued reduction since 2012. This inflection has been particularly strong in the second quarter of this year. This evolution has been mainly driven by a successful bundling strategy, which has resulted in triple and quadruple play residential subscribers growing from 55% as of December last year to 61.2% in June this year. However, this is not the only positive effect from our bundling strategy, as it has also helped to reduce churn from levels of 14.8% to 12.2%, as you can see on the chart in the middle. Current churn is better than we expected on the back of increased mobile penetration and favorable market conditions. On the right, you can see that ARPU is also evolving positively, as expected, increasing by 1.7 euros since December last year, reaching 55.5 in the first half of this year on our residential clients. As a consequence, and we can see on page 2 on the left, what we have seen in the previous page, residential segment is experiencing significant growth versus previous year. Monthly sales have grown since January 15, reaching over 6% growth in June this year versus June last year. With regards to the business segment, on the top right, there has been a stabilization in revenue, with May and June figures being flat versus the same months in the previous year. On the bottom right, SOHO activity is currently experiencing an acceleration growth momentum, with monthly revenue increasingly growing versus previous year. As an example, in June this year, revenue grew by 8.3% versus June last year. As a conclusion, as you can see on page 3, half-year top line is growing 1.4% versus previous year, mainly driven by 3.3% growth in residential revenue on the back of increased number of subscribers, strong reduction in churn, and ARPU rebound. We're also seeing a stabilization of the business segment with an acceleration in SOHO and a stabilization in SMEs and large accounts. Wholesale and other revenue are evolving according to our plan. So overall, our EBITDA has increased by 4.3%, representing a margin expansion from 45.7% to 47%. Highlighting also an effective cost management strategy. On the cash flow side, operating cash flow grew by 5.3%, driven by the increase in EBITDA and a stable CapEx of below our 13% of revenue guidance according to our business plan, resulting in a cash conversion of 75.9% in the first half of this year. This in terms of our Euskaltel results. If we now go into a bit more detail on page 4 of the preliminary agreement signed to integrate Recable in Euskaltel, please bear in mind that this is a preliminary agreement that is subject to due diligence and regulatory approvals. Therefore, we still need to form our views on the precise impact of the combination, and we will inform you again in due course as we complete due diligence and enter into definitive agreement. As you can see, we're talking about the acquisition of the second largest regional cable operator in Spain, increasing our addressable market to almost 5 million people. There is an attractive valuation, creating value for shareholders, both at earnings per share and equity cash flow, as synergies are delivered. Our increased size and scale should allow to deliver synergies in line with precedent cable transactions, resulting in an even more attractive valuation. We will have a creation of distributable reserves at Euskaltel level to support future equity distribution to shareholders. And last, this transaction fulfills our ambition to drive regional cable consolidation in accordance to the strategy outlined during the IPO process. Although most of you already know our cable, let me spend 1 minute on page 5 introducing its key data. ERRE was founded in 1994 and based in La Coruña. The company is the leading cable operator in Galicia and the second largest regional operator in the north of Spain after Euskaltel. Galicia is somewhat larger than the Basque country in terms of population, so we now have an addressable market of 5 million people. Very similar to our business, our cable competes successfully in the market with a strong local brand and by bundling fixed, broadband, pay TV and mobile services. The company has over 375,000 kilometers of cable network with more than 925,000 homes and businesses passed and serves over 205,000 fixed residential customers. Our cable has a workforce of around 200 employees and a retail network of more than 120 stores throughout Galicia. Current monthly residential ARPU, as you can see, is 61.4 euros, driven by a mobile penetration of 70%. In 2014, our cable had 238 million in revenues and a comparable adjusted EBITDA of 110 million, representing a margin of 46%. Operating cash flow stood at 62 million, representing a cash conversion ratio of 57% in line with sector average. As a conclusion, the preliminary relative contribution of each company is around 60-40, Euskaltel 60, Air Cable 40, and the combination will create a company with very attractive operating metrics. Let me just summarize. Homes passed, almost 2 million residential homes and business premises. Residential fixed customers, 485,000. Revenue, around 560 million. EBITDA, around 266 million. Operating cash flow, around 176 million. The result is a company covering 85% of the cable of the northern part of Spain. Now we turn to some key operating data on page 6 about our cable. Revenue breakdown of 66% on residential, 34% on business is very similar to Euskaltel. The company has successfully grown its residential subscriber base by 3% annually between 2012 and 2014. Mobile penetration in the customer base, total and mobile RGU, grew annually by 8.7% and 31% respectively during the same period. And they have a successful bundling strategy which derived in triple and quadruple subscribers, play subscribers representing almost 70% of total base. I'm sure many of these trends will be familiar to all of you. So turning to synergies on page 7, it should be noted that a limited analysis has been done so far, as it will be performed during the due diligence process in the coming weeks. Our preliminary work estimate synergies would represent between 4 and 5% of the combined OPEX, in line with recent integrations of non-overlapping cable networks. With this in mind, we have identified some preliminary areas of synergies that include overall business process reengineering, similar to what we did in Euskaltel 2 years ago, and that helped us increase EBITDA margin by 600 basis points. Sharing of systems and technologies. Optimization of contractual relationships with suppliers, taking advantage of our increased size. Better access and negotiation capacity on products, services, and contents. Harmonization of growth and our investment strategies. Implementation of efficiencies, sharing of best practices, and strengthening of our human capital, our teams. As said before, in-depth analysis will need to be performed during the due diligence process to identify more specific areas of synergies. Our analysis will be initially focused on the four boxes that you have on the bottom of the slide. On direct cost, we'll be looking at mobile host costs, fixed interconnection costs, TV content costs, and purchasing savings. On the commercial side, our sales channel mix, billing, customer care, and media and communication expenditures. In terms of overhead and structural costs, we look at headcount optimization, fixed network operation, the operation also of the 4G network, and some other IT and other administrative costs. In terms of CapEx, sales channel mix, new services, installation and home equipment, 4G network rollout, and the network deployment. So if we move to the terms, the key terms and conditions of this preliminary agreement signed with R-Cable, we can see on page 8, we want to highlight the following items. R-Cable valuation of 1.155 million, that's 1,155 million enterprise value. This valuation is based on a pro forma run rate EBITDA between 105 and 110 million that will be verified in due diligence. This implies a valuation pre-synergies in line with Euskaltel's enterprise value over EBITDA multiple. The preliminary consideration would be 600 million cash and 252 million of newly issued shares. New shares will be issued at 10.18 euros, which represents the volume weighted average price of Euskaltel shares between the IPO date and announcement, and will result in almost 25 million new shares. R-Cable shareholders will become shareholders in Euskaltel, holding a joint stake of approximately 17%, and will be represented on its governing bodies. We have an agreed exclusivity period until September 30, 2015, with a potential extension until October 15th. Obviously, we will try to get it done before. This transaction remains conditional on positive reciprocal confirmatory due diligence, execution of the required legal documentation, and approval from the board of directors and the shareholders' meeting in both companies. Turning to the financial structure on page 9, it is worth noting that Euskaltel's current loan agreement provides the possibility to raise the required debt to fund this transaction. More specifically, in case of M&A, the loan agreement provides headroom to leverage the combined entity up to 5.5 times EBITDA. Out of the gate, we expected the transaction would result in a combined leverage up to 5.2 times, and we would expect to finish the year below 5 times. Notwithstanding this, our CFO, John Ander, is working on alternative financing agreements which may be considered to the extent they improve the available conditions under the current loan facility. As a consequence of the transaction, no equity distributions are allowed while the leverage ratio remains above 4.5 times EBITDA, but we can resume dividend payments as soon as we're below 4.5 times. Turning to the action point, action plan going forward, this is page number 10. As you can see, the expected deadlines of the different work streams until the closing of the transaction. So we have due diligence process starting immediately and lasting until September 30th. Management teams of both companies will work to prepare a joint business plan during August and September. Legal documentation will be prepared during September and expected to be signed by September-October. Shareholders' approval is expected during November 2015. Antitrust clearance would be straightforward and is expected to be achieved during the fourth quarter of the year. Taking all of this into consideration, the transaction should be expected to close by the end of November, beginning of December this year. So in conclusion, on page 11, in summary, first half results confirm the inflection point on the top line, while operating efficiencies have resulted in an improved EBITDA margin. We continue to generate high cash flows at an increased conversion ratio. The announced transaction with R-Cable will result in the creation of the undisputable regional cable operator in Spain and is expected to deliver significant synergies. The transaction is expected to be signed by mid-October and closed by the beginning of December once approval from antitrust authorities and shareholders' meeting have been granted. So thank you very much for your attention. We're happy to take some questions, but please bear in mind that we are at the initial stage of the transaction and will therefore refer you to a more detailed communication once we have signed the definitive agreement. Also, please be aware that, as said before, the full first half of the year results will be communicated to the market by the end of August this year. So, moderator, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Giovanni Montalti from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for the question. Can you give us an indication on any potential remedies if you expect anything material on the transaction with Arcable? And also, what about next steps in terms of consolidation in the North of Spain, considering the recent announcement from Telecable? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. Remedies, we don't expect any remedies since we don't have any overlapping business. With regards to the Telecable deal with Zegona, I mean, at Euskaltel we explore and we will continue exploring all growth opportunities, both organically and through M&A, but always with a focus on financial discipline, value creation for our shareholders, and the adequate contractual protection. So in this sense, the transaction with Arcable is a priority for us, given its size and synergies, and understanding that we will cover approximately 85% of the cable market in the north of Spain. So we cannot comment on third-party strategy, but given the financial nature of Zegona, the Telecable transaction would not exclude the possibility that we could continue in the future a dialogue with Telecable and its shareholders.
Sorry, thanks very much for the answer. If I may, just a very quick follow-up. Obviously, I'm assuming that all your organic capex plan are unchanged, notwithstanding, the transaction. And if you can confirm this, please, in terms of extension of your network, obviously. And also, can you provide us an update, maybe, about the framework about content rights in Spain? Even today, we have heard some complaints from the top management of Orange during the conference call about the remedies that are, considered not sufficient that have been imposed on Telefónica Digital Plus. I don't know if you have any update on this side, if you are considering to file a complaint, a formal process. What could be the timing of any development on this side? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. You've taken already three questions. CapEx, yes, we will continue, but in a more efficient way. I mean, we see improvements in the way we deploy our CapEx, and that's something that we have to work out in the due diligence. Okay, but the answer would be yes, but in a more efficient way. In terms of content rights, football, I totally agree with the comments made by Orange. The remedies imposed to Telefónica, taking over 80% of the Spanish pay TV market, are, very light remedies. We are not initially going to have or going to be able to deliver football to our 10,000 customers that were currently paying for football. The pricing that would come out for us would be around four times the current price that we are paying right now for football. And we will obviously complain in the right moments, and we're studying exactly the kind of complaints that we're going to put in place. Being said this, we are not giving up. We will, once this round of negotiation with Telefónica ends, we will continue negotiating with them, and we are sure that for not this season coming up season, but the season after that one, that means 2016, 2017, we will give our customers access to football. The discussion is now around 2015, 2016 season, and we still have to see. We're not giving up, but in any case, even if we lose up to 50% of those 10,000 customers, due to the current cost of football, we will make improvements in our margins and in our results. So we are in a very good situation. It's a limited impact. It's only 10,000 customers, and even in the event that we would lose up to 50% of them, the result would be positive. Obviously, we're not happy limiting the access to content to our customers, but it's not something that will substantially change our strategy or substantially change our results.
Thanks very much.
The next question comes from Yvonne Leal from BBVA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Some questions on the synergy side, Fernando. I didn't get, well, your number. You say that you were talking about 4-5% of combined OPEX or combined OPEX, CAPEX, and synergies. And in that case, whether you expect or not synergies on the CAPEX, on the revenue side. The second one is on ARPU. I was a bit surprised on the ARPU of R, which is actually above your ARPU. When I was checking their tariffs in the web page, it looks like they have tariffs like between five and 10% below yours. So I don't know if you could explain what is the difference on the ARPU coming from, whether it's just, you know, higher mobile numbers or higher, you know, the residential RGU per sub. And highly spec. Where is the upside? Because I was expecting some upside maybe coming on the revenue side. Third one on CapEx. I see CapEx is 48 million euros. I don't know if you have a sense on what would be the sustainable CapEx for R going forward. And maybe just the final one. On the Telecable deal, I don't know if you could comment on whether you were involved in the negotiations, and if you can share with us that it was a matter of price for you not, you know, getting control of the asset, because it does look like you guys have obviously, you know, more synergies to deliver than the guys have, which actually have bought into the asset.
Okay, so let's see, let's start with the synergies. I mean, we still have to do the due diligence, okay? We have done recently a due diligence of Telecable, and the areas where we expected to get synergies are the areas where we've seen the synergies there. So when we talk 4-5% in terms of OPEX, that's total OPEX, and that's something that we have confirmed that we can achieve on the Telecable side, and we believe also, subject to the due diligence, that we can get them from our. That's in terms of OPEX. In terms of CAPEX, that would be on top of. We believe that, and you have just named some numbers in terms of the percentage of CAPEX in R over their revenues compared to ours. I would look at it even a bit further. Our cash conversion of over 70% compared to their 57%. So that gives you an idea of the total opportunity that we have there. It doesn't mean that it's something that we can grab immediately, obviously, but we have to do the due diligence. But we believe that on top of the 4-5% OPEX, total OPEX synergy, we have the CAPEX one. On the revenue side, there are many initiatives, many ideas, but the revenue side is always more tricky and is less easy to grab. So on the revenue side, we're not talking more than potential new service launch or even combining our large accounts engineering teams in order to be able to deliver even more attractive services to our large accounts. But that we're not really pushing on that side. That related to synergies. In terms of ARPU, you're right. Their ARPU is higher than ours. And you've looked into their web, their price is lower. Basically, the difference between their business and our business is it goes all around mobile penetration. On chart 5, you can see that our penetration among our fixed residential subscribers in Euskaltel is 49%, and they're on a 70%. That 20%, those 20 additional points of mobile subscribers is what's driving the increase in residential ARPU. So it's not so much related to pricing, it's related to the penetration of mobile, and you can see that in residential RGU per sub, where we have 3.1, they're on a 3.4. So they have more mobile penetration, and that is the explanation between the difference in ARPU levels. In terms of Telecable Asturias, I think we already made the comment that we only do and we only follow and we any opportunities, growth opportunities organically and through M&A with a financial discipline, if it really creates value for our shareholders, and on top of that, if we get the necessary and the adequate contractual protections. And I think with this, we can't disclose anymore because we are subject to confidentiality.
Okay, thanks very much, Fernando.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Giorgio Ziario Diacono from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. I had one question which is more around financials and then a question on operational trends. Firstly, on financials, regarding further M&A, and I appreciate there may be a bit of a delay now, can you please give us an idea whether the agreement you are signing now will limit your ability to issue new equity, whether the 17% stake you are giving away with certain board representation would have some form of guarantees you are not going to be able to use equity in further transactions for a certain period of time? Linked to that, whether you mentioned earlier examining other avenues of financing, whether as part of the existing debt that you raised, you would be able to use hybrid debt in the way that Telefonica and Orange are using it, perpetual bonds and so on, and whether those will not count as part of the leverage, given that they are subordinated. And then my second question is around the corporate segment in Galicia. Can you perhaps touch on the differences between your business and their business and where there could be opportunities there? I think you just spoke earlier about certain products you could develop, but whether they are as exposed to corporate as you are in the Basque Country. Thank you.
Yes. So, Giorgio, thank you very much for your questions. Around the financials and M&A, as I said, by doing this deal, and we still have to do the due diligence and close it with R, we're already covering 85% of the homes and businesses of the northern cable operators. So for us, this is the deal that we have to pursue right now. We have to make sure that we do it correctly. In terms of equity and the 70% that we're giving away, I mean, I wouldn't put it that we're giving away, but we're taking an exchange. But there's no limit in terms of what you were asking. Other avenues of financing, hybrid debt, I think it's too early. It's too early to tell. We may look at institutional market, but it's too early yet. Corporate is a very interesting segment. On the Spanish level, only Telefonica is able to compete in this market. They have kicked out of the market all other large international companies. The only regional companies that have a strong large account business are and ourselves. And we believe here size is important, scale is important. I believe that we can do more things together, but we still don't have enough information about what we can take advantage of area. I'm sure they have important knowledge that will be very helpful for the new group. But it's a bit too early to tell.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Three questions, if I may. The first one is related with the EBITDA that you're using in order to present the valuation multiples, the 105, 110 yearly run rate. I would just willing to know where are the different account measures between your reported EBITDA and DR reported EBITDA in order to assess better the valuation multiple. The second one is you have, regarding your first half results, you have stated 4.3% growth in EBITDA in the first half of the year. Just to confirm that according to the 1.1% EBITDA growth seen in the first quarter, it would imply close to 6 to 7% in the second quarter, and what would be your outlook for the year, for the coming quarters? And the third question is related with the competitive landscape in Galicia. We already know what are the targets in terms of FTTH deployment from Telefonica, from Orange in the Basque Country. I would like to know if you have some color on what are the competitors' situation in Galicia, particularly regarding Telefonica and Orange. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. So I'll try to answer. I mean, the EBITDA we're looking at between 105 and 110, it has a comparable capitalization and a comparable run rate. I mean, that's the work we are doing now in the due diligence. But as what we understand up to now, it's quite comparable in terms of capitalization, basically around SAC and around subsidies, customer customer subsidies, mobile subsidies. So we believe it's very similar, but it has to be worked out. That's why we have this range between 105 and 110. In terms of EBITDA, our EBITDA first half of the year growth is 4.3. I understand that you were trying to compare the second quarter with the first quarter of the year.
Right.
It's linked to the growth in revenues, in residential and SOHO revenues. The acceleration has come in, as you have seen on page 2. The acceleration has come really after May, so in the May, June, and also in SOHO, the 8% of increase in revenues over the previous year has come in June. And in the business revenue, the stabilization has come on May-June, while in the first quarter of the year we were declining strongly still in the business revenue. So it's more related to revenues. It's not related to any other, let's say, financial measure or financial way of reporting. And in terms of competition, as I said, the strategy of ERE is very similar to ours. We compete successfully against Telefonica. That means we are leaders in our markets. We compete by bundling, by adding mobile. Telefonica also has deployed fiber in Galicia. Despite that, there is no market share loss versus Telefonica. Competition has been fierce with cheap DSL providers in the past, both in the Basque region and in Galicia, basically related to pricing and to the need of lower prices by families that really were having strong pressure in terms of their income. And what we are seeing now is the market is less competitive. It takes more to gain new customers, but we're doing well, and also R is doing well. But it also has a positive effect that it makes more difficult for our competition to take away customers from us and from R, since the economic situation in Spain, that includes Galicia and the Basque country, is improving. There's less pressure on pricing, and there's also a higher need of better broadband connections, and that also works in favor of cable networks as ERE's and ours.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
The next question comes from Nuno Matias from BESI. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have a question on one of the points on the presentation. You mentioned that the acquisition of Air Cable would increase the distributable reserves. I understand that obviously you're still in the due diligence process, but can you give us any idea of how much this contributes for that increase, given the critical importance this might have for future shareholder remuneration? Thanks.
Just give me a second, please. Sorry, Nuno. No, basically, in terms of reserves, just by the additional equity, we will be talking about something between 150 and 200 million euros of distributable reserves.
Okay, many thanks.
There are no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. Good afternoon to all, and good morning also.